what Kicksteady, being Kicksteady Yeti, means to you.
Okay, so to me, I feel like I'm sheltered, you know, by them, because you know, when I worked at Sea Alaska, and I read all the things that the Dauernhauers wrote at Sea Alaska Heritage. We called it Foundation then. It was like, these are special, you know, like, I think they're, that type of relationship is kind of humorous in a way, because an old person can go call a young person their grandfather, you know, because they're from their grandfather's clan or something.
Right.
But, so that has something to do with Yeti, but I don't really recall that. I haven't read that for a long time or been with the Dauernhauers since I moved away a long time ago, so.
Dick and Nora?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, they called me, they said she's our, well, I was, they were my mentor, and I forget what they called me there, but I worked with them for several years there, and I edited, or I did research for their book, The 50 Tlingit Elders, Hakusti, and I transcribed a lot of the stuff for it, you know, that. So, anyway, yeah, it's sort of like, you know, having your grandparents when, for me it was meaningful, because I never had my grandparents. Because my grandfather, even the grandfather I knew, died when I was 7, but I remember going to his funeral and forcing myself to cry, you know, afterwards, because everybody else was so sad.
Right.
And I just sat out on the steps and forced myself to cry, because it seemed like I had actually only seen him a couple times. Mm. He liked to be alone. My grandmother, and the other thing that Kicksteady Yeti means to me is, when I was growing up, like Carolyn Tiss's mom would tell me stories about my grandma, Grandma Susie. She was Kicksteady. Her maiden name was Kude. They'd say, "Your grandma was so kind, and she was so much fun to be with. She would let all of us kids from the whole neighborhood come over to her house, and we'd do fun things like pool taffy." And but they said, as soon as your grandfather came home, we all had to leave because he was really stern.
Oh.
Well, they actually said mean, but stern's a nice way to say that.
And so have you seen some of those attributes that you talked about with the Kicksteady and the frogs in your family, in your grandparents?
Well, like I said, my grandparents were dead, but I can see it in my auntie, mm-hmm, and Betty Knorr, because they're Kicksteady.
Right.
And then also Andy Abona. And then when I go to Sitka, I can feel their present strongly in the A&B hall. And even when I went to SJ, I mean, I didn't go to school there, but I got to stay there when I was in the pep band, and I went up there for a tournament. We got to stay at SJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, I went to Sitka with my mom a couple months ago, and it was very beautiful over there, too.
Mm-hmm.
The sun was shining, and yeah, it was a nice place. We saw Sheldon Jackson, mm-hmm, down by the water.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you mentioned that you've only seen frogs around a few times in your life, maybe 5 times. When you've seen them, do you think that the animal that you see on the landscape, do you have any connection to it being Kicksteady Yeti?
You know what? I was in my 20s when I saw a frog. And I was 4 years old when I saw a whole bunch of them up in Haines, and I didn't feel any connection because back then I wasn't into my culture. I didn't get into my culture until I became a Baha'i when I was 32, and until I started college and started taking American Indian Studies classes, and you know, because I felt shame about it. It was passed down, you know, from my mom. And even when I was 14, my friend Peggy Gross's grandfather taught us how to dance. He taught Peggy, Carol, and me, Carol Snowdy, how to dance and perform for the tourists at the Sheikh's house. And then they even took our picture and put it on the Alaska State Ferry. They used to have a little TV where they showed a little slideshow.
Oh, cool.
When we were teenagers. And but even so, I just felt so much peer pressure, you know, not to be involved in it.
Right.
And so I didn't become involved until about my... After I'd been going to college, I started going to college in 76. And when I came back, I was pretty much done with my bachelor's when I was in 84, when I was 34. And I went, Marge Bird invited me to dance with her and her family and her niece, Dawn Hutchinson, Stevens, and I'm just cold, so. Anyway, I went to dance with them. We were performing for 4th of July, and we were on the stage at the community gym. And I was so scared. I was terrified, you know, when we got up on the stage, and I felt like I was gonna urinate myself. That's how afraid I was. But soon as we started singing and drumming and dancing, I felt a lot of strength flow through me, and I was able to overcome that shame, and I've never felt it again. And I always feel I can tell the little kids like me to be there because they think I have a feeling that they can gain some strength and courage from me. Because I remember when Tammy Meisner's little daughters first started dancing, and the littlest one just was almost attached to my leg. You know, that's how scared she was. and then even the ones in kindergarten and grade school, they kind of watch me and, you know, try to emulate what I do because I sing loud and I feel really proud and confident.
That's really inspiring that you came to that realization, that you didn't go throughout life having that shame, you know.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was awesome. And that's why I'm so grateful to Marge for inviting me to dance with them. And then this one, I think you might know Steve Brown, the carver.
Yes.
I got hired as the JOM instructor in 1986, and back then there was a lot of money, so I got to hire a lot of instructors to come and teach us how to do things, and one of them was Steve Brown to teach kids how to make drums. And so when he finished making the two drums, he gave me one of them, and I didn't touch it for a long time. I kept it with me, but I felt I'm not capable of drumming, you know. So then when I was going to college in Seattle, I'd always do other things, you know, like on the evenings and weekends, educational things. Like I had gone to a workshop. It was called Sacred Traditions of the American Indian, and it was another American Indian woman who got a degree in psychology. But I was like only in my second or third year of college when I met her. And she taught us how to... actually, I'm getting confused because I did so many of them. But it was actually Dahani Yahoo. She is a Cherokee. And she's really beautiful. And she has like these really... almost see-through green eyes. Have you ever seen those kind?
I have, but I always think they're wearing contacts.
Oh, no, she definitely wasn't. And she also had pitch black hair, you know, real long. And she was very beautiful. This was like in 87. Somehow I got involved in taking her classes with some of her students. And then I got to meet her in Vancouver in the summer of 88. Well, she taught us how to connect our male side with our female side by doing, you know, certain meditation movements. And one of them was, you know, just to sit and go and make like the eight, you know, the the infinity sign
right.
with your body. And so, anyway, after doing all her meditation things for several months, then I could, then I felt strong enough to start drumming. And she actually wrote a book, well, she talked about it, and then she has written a book. And yeah, she said that you can't really drum until your male and your female side are equal. Like for me, I'm assuming that my male side was weak and my female side was strong. But anyway.
And traditionally, it was the man that drummed?
No, it wasn't that. I think, see, since I've kind of learned from a lot of different sources, I pick up, you know, their ideas, but they're different than what we do here, because there were female shamans here, and drumming is a big part of being a shaman. And so I think with the Cherokees, though, it's male-dominated. Well, patrilineal, whereas we're matrilineal.
Right.
And they're... yeah, so it was nice to learn from her. And
yeah. I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Okay.